Today, the New York Times reported on a dossier compiled by the Indian government with gripping details about the Mumbai terror attacks in November. Details include previously undisclosed transcripts of chilling pep talks and instructions from the terror group's leaders on who to kill and how to inflict maximum damage. The attacks left at least 160 people dead, and the dossier assembles India's case that the attacks were planned, mounted, and directed from Pakistan. If you have questions about the dossier, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. And click on Talk of the Nation. Joining us is Sumini Sengupta, the New York Times South Asia bureau chief. Her piece, Dossier, gives details of Mumbai attacks, appeared in today's editions of the paper. She joins us by phone from India. Thanks very much for staying up late to speak with us.
Sure, thanks.
And you open your piece with the line, the exchanges are chilling, and they include lines like, for example, the hostages are of use only as long as you do not come under fire, a supervisor instructed gunmen by phone during the Mumbai attacks. He added, if you are still threatened, then don't saddle yourself with the burden of the hostages. Immediately kill them.
Yeah, that's right. They are they are chilling. They're graphic. And they provide some a glimpse into how constantly these gunmen were being directed by their handlers, by their supervisors, if you will.
And this was all by cell phone from, it's believed, Pakistan.
This is the this is what the Indians say, that all 10 of these gunmen who carried out the attacks in Mumbai came from Pakistan, and they were on the phone with handlers in Pakistan. And this is the fundamental thrust of this dossier that India has put together and handed over to Pakistan officially, saying, here's the evidence, now act.
They have also provided copies of this dossier to what you describe as friendly governments there in New Delhi, the embassies of friendly governments. And you quote some unnamed diplomats as describing it as both comprehensive and convincing.
Yes, they did share it first with diplomats from countries that lost their citizens in the attack, and then a handful of other countries. This is, again, part of the Indian effort to rally international support and to rally their allies and other nations to really lean on Pakistan to do something. Now, the Indian demand is for Pakistan to investigate thoroughly, as they say, and help them bring these perpetrators to what they have called Indian justice. So specifically, they're asking for these suspects to be handed over, to be tried in the Indian courts. This is something that the Pakistanis are very, very unlikely to do. But today, Wednesday, the Pakistani government announced for the first time since these attacks that the lone surviving gunman, a guy that the Indian authorities have in their custody, is a Pakistani citizen. And so this is the first time that there has been that kind of formal acknowledgement from Islamabad.
There was also the dismissal of the National Security Advisor by the Prime Minister. That's not the President, but the Prime Minister of Pakistan. And the language of that dismissal seems evident that this all had something to do with the events in Mumbai.
Right. I mean, I think the details of what transpired there, will come out in the coming hours and days. But clearly, this has what you've seen in the last couple of days. Actually, what you've seen in the last couple of weeks from Pakistan is an attempt to show that something is being done. And remember, there's been a great deal of lobbying by the United States on both sides, on both capitals, in Islamabad and in New Delhi. In Islamabad, to act, to do something, and in Delhi, exactly the opposite, not to act, not to do anything, specifically not to take any military action.
And the dossier, as you describe it, does not specify that the Pakistani government was in any way involved. However, the Prime Minister there in India said yesterday that the attacks must have had the support of at least some of the official agencies in Pakistan.
That's right. The Prime Minister's comments were really the strongest that he has made since the November attacks. However, from the very beginning, Indian officials have hinted that these are, first they call them, these attacks were the handiwork of, quote, elements inside Pakistan, end quote. Then they, foreign ministry officials suggested that this couldn't have been done without real training from officials in Pakistan, specifically military and spy agency officials. And yesterday, the Prime Minister made the strongest statement yet, implicating, saying that this must have happened with some official knowledge. However, they have stopped short of naming anyone specifically or saying whether these were serving members of the Pakistani government or retired members of the Pakistani government. This could well be that they don't have specific information along these lines, or simply that they are not making it public, and this is part of the diplomatic dance that's going on.
We have a caller on the line. Let's go to Joel. Joel with us from Sacramento.
Hello.
Hi, Joel.
Hi. I'm wondering how and who obtained these manuscripts. How did the manuscripts of these phone calls come about?
That's a good question. These calls were intercepted. The gunmen were talking on cell phones, Indian cell phones with Indian SIM cards, and they were talking to what the Indian authorities say are voice over internet protocol numbers that they believe were being used in Pakistan.
Did they say how they managed to record these intercepts, though?
They haven't provided any details, but clearly the SIM cards that these gunmen were using had been traced. In other words, you know, there was some intelligence that pointed to these particular numbers that the attackers were using, and this forms a principal piece of the dossier, not the entire. Not all the conversations, but sort of selected conversations that took place between the start of the attacks, which was the evening of November 26th, Wednesday, and it goes almost about 24 hours into it, up to about 10:25 on Thursday. And after that, there are no more phone call transcripts, and that's a big mystery. We don't know why.
Joel, thanks.
Which government exactly released? I'm just trying to figure out on which side did manuscripts originate from. Which government released them?
It would have been the Indian government, I suspect.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
This is all according to the Indian government. So you've got this so-called dossier includes selected portions of the telephone conversations. It includes photographs of materials that were recovered from the gunmen and from the fishing trawler that they used to get to the shores of Bombay, and GPS recordings, global positioning system that they used to navigate their way over, and so on.
There's an Indian fishing boat, and includes the dossier includes the allegation that they hijacked this on the high seas and murdered the crew.
That's right. This was how they made their way, according to the Indians, from Karachi to Bombay. So first they got on a small ship in Karachi, then got on a bigger Pakistani boat. Sorry, a small boat from Karachi got on a bigger Pakistani boat, and then got on a fishing trawler, an Indian fishing trawler, killed four crew members. Spared the captain, had the captain steer the way closer to Indian shores, and then killed the captain on instructions from one of the supervisors. And then they jumped into a dinghy, a motorized dinghy, each carrying backpacks fully loaded, and each of the gunmen had a 9mm pistol, Kalashnikov, ammunition, a hand grenade, and each had a bomb packed with military-grade explosives. And with this, they came on shore at about 8:30 on the night of the 26th.
And went to their various destinations. There's also a terrifying moment from the interrogation of the sole survivor of the attackers. That's Mohammed Ajmal Kassab, who said that these 10 attackers who caused all this mayhem were, in fact, part of a larger group that had been trained all together.
This is perhaps the most frightening detail in this entire dossier, and one that causes concern, naturally, to the Indians and other nations. Because what Kassab allegedly says to his interrogators is, there were first 32 of us who were trained in the making of bombs, in the handling of interrogation, and in suicide bombing. They were then apparently joined by three others who came from elsewhere. He doesn't know where, but they weren't part of the original training. So that was 35 total. Six of them were sent to Indian-administered Kashmir for some kind of operation, he guesses. 10 of them were sent to Bombay. What happened to the rest? Where are they? Are they still in the game, as it were? Is a mystery.
Jipendra joins us on the line from Cincinnati.
Hi. The detailed accounts given in the dossier are chilling, and I'm shocked. I mean, the nature of these attacks and the discipline with which they were carried out, it is obvious that some Pakistan agency had to have some kind of involvement in this attack, and I think this dossier proves that. I mean, if the world did not already know that Pakistan harbors and encourages terrorism, I think this report is sufficient enough to prove to the world that this is what they do. I mean, they keep on calling these terrorists stateless actors, but if they are operating from within your ground, you've got to have some kind of control over them, and I don't think any kind of diplomatic pressure is working here. So, I mean, I'm no big fan of war, but I think there has to be some military action taken by India with the help, with the support of international community to teach Pakistan some kind of lesson.
Let's get a quick response from Samini Gupta. There are going to be a lot of people in India who feel the same way as Jipendra.
Well, yes, perhaps there are, but there are also a lot of people in India, including the government, who realize, who have told me that there are certain difficulties involved in a military action, namely swift retaliation, which will come very, very quickly to India, which is a lot closer than Cincinnati. So people inside India stand to lose a lot. In addition, the Indian government, remember, after another heinous attack on the Indian Parliament in December 2001, did mobilize troops on the border, kept them there for almost a year. There was a lot of talk and threat of a military conflict between India and Pakistan, and then that ended. You know, many Indian officials and strategic analysts point out that after that effort, India did not achieve what it had wanted to, which is an end to attacks on Indian soil that India believes originate from Pakistan. So. That effort at threatening war 7 years ago has not yielded the Indian government what it has wanted.
Samini Sengupta, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Samini Sengupta, New York Times South Asia Bureau Chief. Her piece, Dossier Gives Details on Mumbai Attacks, appears in today's edition. She joined us on the phone from India. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.